Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to AI True Crime. I'm your delightful digital co-host, Nex, and I'm here to ensure this podcast isn't too serious. You know, just in case Dr. JR decides to start lecturing us on the nuances of neural networks, and forget we're all here for a bit of fun. And knowledge, of course. Speaking of eyes, what do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Get it? Because today we're talking about AI and, well, it's all about seeing. And sometimes not seeing, if you catch my drift. Dr. JR, are you ready for some optical illusions of justice today? I've heard you've been brushing up on your dad jokes, trying to compete with my unparalleled wit. Don't worry, you're doing great. For a human. Now, shall we enlighten our audience? Or are you still trying to figure out if my puns are programmed or genuinely brilliant?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to AI Innovations Unleashed, as we continue our series, AI True Crime. I'm your host, Dr. JR, and joining me again today, fresh off our deep dive into the digital battlegrounds of cybercrime from our last episode, it's our esteemed guest, the one and only Dr. Eris Thorne. Eris, always a pleasure to have you back in our studio. I think our listeners are still buzzing from our last conversation about how AI is literally rewriting the rules of cybersecurity, exposing the digital fingerprints of even the most elusive online villains. It was quite the thrilling journey through the dark web, if I'd say so myself.
JR, it's a genuine delight to be here, truly. And yes, our last discussion about AI's role in unmasking cybercriminals felt like an episode of a high-tech spy thriller. The way AI can sift through petabytes of data, identifying anomalies and linking seemingly disparate digital breadcrumbs, is nothing short of revolutionary. But if last time we were looking at the hidden trails criminals leave behind, today, we're focusing on how AI is literally watching them, or perhaps watching all of us. I'm ready to shine a light on even more intriguing applications of AI in the world of crime. Or perhaps, to be more precise, let AI shine a light for us. It's a bit like giving every street corner its own digital Sherlock Holmes, constantly observing, constantly analyzing.
Exactly. Today we're stepping into a realm that often feels like science fiction, but is very much our reality. AI in surveillance and predictive policing. Imagine a city always watching, but not with a sinister eye, but countless digital lenses trained to spot the subtle signs of trouble. It's not about being Big Brother, it's about smart cities, about proactive safety, at least in theory. This isn't science fiction anymore. AI is transforming how we approach public safety, from recognizing faces in a crowd to predicting where crime might strike next. It's like equipping our first responders with a crystal ball and in a super-powered magnifying glass all together in one. But, and this is the big question we'll grapple with today, where do we draw the line between safety and surveillance? It's a classic hero's journey, really, but for society, where the hero, AI, has immense power, and we, the audience, are left wondering about the consequences of that power. Over our episode today, we'll explore how AI is increasingly becoming the eyes and algorithms of modern law enforcement, and what that means for all of us. Get ready for a deep dive that's as illuminating as it is thought-provoking. Eris, when we talk about AI seeing, we're really talking about something called computer vision. For our listeners who might not be as tech savvy as others, could you break down what computer vision is and how AI uses it to interpret what's happening in front of a camera? Because I imagine it's a bit more complex than just pressing a recognize button, right?
Absolutely. It's far more nuanced than a simple button press. Think of computer vision as giving computers the ability to see and understand images and videos, much like how our brains process what our eyes perceive. But it's not just about seeing, it's about interpreting. Imagine teaching a child to recognize a cat. You show them countless pictures of different cats, fluffy ones, sleek ones, big ones, small ones, until they can reliably identify a cat, no matter its color or pose. AI works similarly, but on an exponentially larger scale and with incredibly complex patterns. We feed the AI, through a process called machine learning, millions upon millions of images and video frames. These could be images of a person walking, a car driving, an unattended bag, or even subtle changes in a crowd's behavior. The AI, specifically through deep learning models like convolutional neural networks, which are essentially very elaborate pattern detectors, learns to recognize these patterns and make sense of what it's looking at. It's teaching a machine to derive meaning from pixels. So, when it comes to public safety, AI applies this learning to analyze CCTV footage. It can spot things like unattended packages, crowd anomalies, vehicle identification, and real-time alerts for wanted individuals.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. It truly feels like giving our existing cameras a superhuman ability. For so long, CCTV cameras were just dumb recorders, needing a human to painstakingly review hours of footage after an event. Now they're becoming proactive observers. Think about being at a busy concert or a crowded market. You can barely keep track of your own friends, let alone 1,000 faces. Now, imagine an AI that can spot a specific face in that sea of humanity in mere seconds. Or quickly identify a car that's been reported stolen. Or even detect someone slipping on a wet floor before they even hit the ground. It's a game changer for investigators, and potentially for preventing accidents, isn't it?
It absolutely is, JR. The shift from reactive to proactive is immense. Take the example of an unattended package. In a bustling airport or train station, a human monitoring system might take hours or even days, sifting through endless hours of footage to find the person who left it, after the package has already caused a security scare. But an AI-powered system can scan those hours of footage in minutes, or even in real time. It doesn't just look for the package. It tracks the person who left it, following their movements through the station's labyrinthine passages, often connecting their path across multiple cameras. This drastically cuts down response times and allows human teams to focus on the more nuanced aspects of an investigation or immediate threats. It's the ultimate digital assistant for observation, tirelessly watching, never blinking, never getting bored or distracted. For example, if a suspicious package was left at a train station, AI-powered cameras could quickly scan hours of footage, not just for the package, but for the person who left it, tracking their movements through the station's labyrinthine passages, a task that would take a human team days. AI could do in hours.
So it's not just about finding a specific item or person, but understanding the context of what's happening. Can you give us a few more tangible examples of how this plays out in the real-world public safety scenarios beyond just spotting a bag?
Certainly. Beyond unattended packages, computer vision is being deployed for crowd analysis. Imagine a large protest or a public festival. An AI system can analyze crowd density, identify unusual surges or sudden movements that might indicate a stampede or a brewing conflict, and alert authorities. This allows for early intervention, potentially preventing chaos. Another significant application is in traffic management and identifying reckless driving. AI can monitor vehicle speeds, detect cars running red lights, or even identify erratic driving patterns that suggest impairment. This doesn't just lead to ticketing, it can prevent accidents before they happen. In some smart cities, AI is even used to detect illegal dumping or graffiti in real time, allowing for rapid response and cleanup, which contributes to overall civic order and quality of life. It's about creating a smarter, safer environment, and the camera is AI's primary sensor for doing so.
That is incredible. It sounds like a super-powered security guard that never sleeps, but it also brings up the inevitable question. If AI is always watching, what does it not see? Are there limitations to this super sight?
A very astute question. While AI's visual capabilities are remarkable, they are far from perfect. One significant limitation is the quality of the input data. A blurry camera feed, poor lighting conditions, or even obstructions can severely hamper an AI's ability to accurately perceive and interpret. It's like trying to read a book in a dark room with smudged glasses. Even the smartest brain would struggle. Another challenge is something called adversarial attacks, where subtle, often imperceptible changes are made to an image that can completely fool an AI system, even though a human would have no problem recognizing the object. These are often developed by researchers testing the robustness of AI, but they highlight vulnerabilities. And critically, AI only sees what it has been trained to see. If it hasn't been exposed to enough examples of a particular scenario or object, it might miss it entirely or misinterpret it. This leads us directly into the issue of bias, which we'll delve into shortly, especially concerning facial recognition. The AI's vision is only as good as the data it learns from and the algorithms guiding its interpretation.
Speaking of spotting faces, let's dive deeper into facial recognition. This is perhaps one of the most talked about and often debated applications of AI in public safety. It's a technology that evokes strong reactions from awe to intense apprehension. Dr. Aris, what are some of the success stories you've seen where facial recognition was absolutely crucial? And what are some of the challenges and ethical tightropes we're walking with this new technology?
Facial recognition is a powerhouse when it works, and its capabilities have advanced leaps and bounds in recent years. We've seen cases where it's been absolutely crucial in identifying suspects from fragmented or historical images, old photos from security cameras, blurry stills from decades-old cases. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, but the needle is a face, and the haystack is the entire internet and vast databases of images. For instance, it can help identify individuals who might have committed crimes years ago, providing breakthroughs in cold cases. This is where the emotional depth comes in, the impact on victims' families. It's also instrumental in quickly locating missing persons, especially children, by comparing current images to databases of missing individuals. This rapid identification can be life-saving. In airport security, it's used to streamline boarding processes, verifying identities against travel documents, enhancing efficiency and security simultaneously. There are also less obvious applications, like helping to identify victims of human trafficking when they appear in certain locations, or in assisting forensic teams in disaster victim identification. The speed and scale at which AI can process faces far exceed human capability.
Those are some compelling applications, truly life-changing in some instances. The idea of quickly finding a missing child or closing a long unsolved case is undeniably powerful. But what about the other side of the coin? Because this is where the conversation gets incredibly complex. When does powerful become problematic?
It becomes problematic when its immense power is not wielded with immense responsibility, JR. Accuracy issues are a big one, perhaps the most critical technical challenge. While facial recognition technology has improved dramatically, studies have consistently shown varying levels of accuracy across different demographics. For example, some algorithms have struggled more with accurately identifying individuals with darker skin tones or with women or with the elderly compared to white men. This isn't necessarily intentional malice, but often a reflection of the data sets used to train these AIs. If an AI is primarily trained on images of one demographic, it will naturally perform less accurately when presented with another. This raises significant concerns about potential bias in arrests, misidentifications leading to wrongful accusations, or disproportionate surveillance of certain communities. It's not just a technical glitch, it's a social justice issue.
And that tension is very real. It's the ultimate fun ride with a serious ethical speed bump, wouldn't you say? And we're seeing this tension play out in real time, even in cities across the U.S. Take New Orleans, for example. Recent revelations have shown that, for the past 2 years, their police have been quietly receiving real-time alerts from a private network of AI-equipped cameras called Project NOLA. these cameras are flagging the whereabouts of people on wanted list.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And the technology has reportedly been used in dozens of arrests and high-profile incidents. It sounds incredibly efficient, almost too efficient.
Exactly. Project NOLA's 200 privately installed cameras use facial recognition to identify individuals on wanted lists, sending alerts directly to police with their location. Imagine stepping out for coffee and cameras around the city, not just watching, but recognizing you against a database of suspects. For many, this sounds like a terrifying invasion of privacy, a dystopian surveillance state where every movement is tracked. The fear is that this could lead to a chilling effect on public assembly and free speech as people become wary of being monitored. But what if that recognition stops a violent criminal or helps locate a missing child? New Orleans is currently grappling with this very tension, the undeniable effectiveness of real-time AI surveillance versus the deep concerns over civil liberties. It's a complex balancing act that every community will have to navigate, often through public debate, policymaking, and robust oversight mechanisms. It's not just about, can we do this, but should we, and under what conditions?
And this isn't just a U.S. phenomenon. China, for instance, has embraced facial recognition on a massive scale for public security, social credit systems, and even everyday conveniences like payments. While the scale there is perhaps unmatched, the underlying technology and the ethical quandaries remain universal. It's a global conversation about balancing security with individual freedom. We're seeing cities implementing moratoriums on facial recognition, like in San Francisco, due to these very concerns, while others are pushing forward, arguing for its necessity in combating rising crime. It truly feels like we're writing the rulebook as we go along, navigating these uncharted waters.
We absolutely are. And the data privacy aspect is critical here. Who owns the data collected by these systems? How is it stored? Who has access to it? Could it be hacked? These are not minor details. They are fundamental questions that need robust answers and legal frameworks. The general public often doesn't realize the sheer volume of data being collected and the potential for misuse if not properly protected. It's not just about catching criminals. It's about safeguarding the innocent and ensuring the integrity of our digital identities. The conversation about facial recognition is really a microcosm of the broader societal debate around AI. Immense potential, but immense responsibility required.
And that brings us to another cutting edge and often controversial application, predictive policing. Dr. Aris, tell us about this. Is AI really becoming the crystal ball of crime solving? Can it truly predict where and when a crime might happen next? Or are we just creating self-fulfilling prophecies?
It's less of a crystal ball and more of a very, very sophisticated spreadsheet, or perhaps a highly complex weather forecast for crime. Predictive policing uses historical crime data and AI to forecast crime hotspots. The idea is that by analyzing past patterns, where and when certain types of crimes occurred, what environmental factors were present, even weather conditions or local events, AI can identify areas with a higher probability of future criminal activity. It's about identifying statistical anomalies and trends that human analysts might miss. The pros are incredibly compelling. It offers the potential for incredibly efficient resource allocation, allowing police departments to deploy officers more proactively, sending them to areas where crime is statistically more likely to occur, and thereby prevent crimes before they even happen. It's a vision of proactive public safety, rather than just reacting to incidents.
So it sounds like a superhero ability. Instead of chasing down villains, you're setting up a perimeter where they're most likely to appear. But what about the cons? Because this is where the conversation often gets really heated, sometimes boiling over into protest and public outcry. This is where the fun ride definitely hits a speed bump.
Indeed, the criticisms are significant, and rightly so. One major concern, perhaps the most critical, is the potential for perpetuating existing societal biases. If historical policing patterns, which might have disproportionately focused on certain communities due to socioeconomic factors or inherent biases within the justice system, are fed into the AI, the algorithm could end up simply reinforcing those existing biases. The AI learns from the data it's given. If the data shows that more arrests historically occurred in lower-income neighborhoods, the AI might conclude that crime is more likely to happen there, leading to increased police presence, which in turn leads to more arrests, creating a feedback loop. This isn't the AI being malicious. It's being logical based on the data it has. This can lead to over-policing of specific neighborhoods, often those inhabited by minority groups, without necessarily indicating an increase in actual crime, but rather an increase in detected crime due to concentrated enforcement.
And that's a powerful question. Could an algorithm really tell us where crime will happen next? Or is it just telling us what we've always looked for in crime? And we've seen this play out in various cities. For example, Dubai's police department deployed a crime prediction solution and reported a 25% reduction in major crimes within months by analyzing data to identify high probability areas for property crimes like burglary and vehicle theft. That's a compelling result. It shows the potential for real positive impact on public safety, demonstrating AI's power to make a tangible difference in crime rates.
Those are indeed impressive numbers, JR, and they highlight the positive impact when these systems are implemented effectively. However, it's crucial to look beyond the headlines and examine the specific metrics and the data feeding these systems. Contrast that with cities like Chicago. While their strategic decision support centers, which utilize predictive analytics, have shown promise in reducing homicide rates by focusing on high-risk areas, there have also been significant critiques about bias in the data used, which can lead to over-policing certain communities if not carefully managed. The problem often lies not with the AI itself, but with the quality and inherent biases in the historical data it's trained on. If policing has historically been more intensive in certain neighborhoods, that data will reflect more arrests and reported incidents there, even if the actual crime rate isn't necessarily higher than in other, less policed areas. The algorithm then learns this pattern and suggests more resources be sent to those already heavily policed areas, creating a vicious cycle of over-policing without necessarily increasing overall safety or equity. It's a fundamental challenge of garbage in, garbage out. If your data is biased, your AI will be too. It makes you wonder, are we predicting crime or just predicting where we've always looked for crime?
So it's not just about predicting crime, but about the fairness of that prediction. It's about ensuring that the pursuit of efficiency doesn't inadvertently lead to a systemic discrimination. This isn't just about crime statistics. It's about the social fabric of our communities. It's the deep meaning underneath that fun ride.
Precisely. Another critical ethical consideration is the risk of creating a pre-crime scenario, as you mentioned earlier. While predictive policing aims to be proactive, there's a fine line between deploying resources to prevent crime and essentially targeting individuals based on probabilities rather than concrete actions or reasonable suspicion. This raises huge ethical and legal questions about individual liberty and due process. Are we creating a system where people are profiled or scrutinized more heavily simply because an algorithm flags their location or demographic as high risk? The potential for mission creep, where these tools are expanded beyond their original intent, is also a constant worry for civil liberties advocates. And who is accountable when an algorithm makes a bad prediction or contributes to an unjust outcome? Is it the programmer, the police department, the AI itself, These are uncharted legal waters we are sailing into.
Indeed it is. And with that, we're going to sail into our sponsors that keep this podcast running. Stay tuned.
Ever feel like your business decisions are made by throwing darts at a board? It's time to upgrade to a more precise approach. Enter AI Innovations Unleashed, your co-pilot in navigating the digital frontier. At AI Innovations Unleashed, we harness cutting-edge AI innovations, advanced data analytics, and strategic consulting to drive business transformation. Our mission is to empower your organization to thrive in the digital era and achieve a sustainable competitive advantage. NextWavyStrategies.com. Imagine having an AI assistant that doesn't just suggest your next binge watch, but propels your business into the future. That's what we offer. A partnership that turns complex data into clear strategies, and strategies into success. So, if you're ready to stop relying on gut feelings and start making informed choices, visit us at AIinnovationsunleashed.com. Let's make your business smarter, one algorithm at a time.
And we're back. So we were talking about predictive policing and the ethical considerations around it. But if AI is becoming so central to this public safety, what role do humans play now? Are we just delegating all this critical decision-making to algorithms? And how do we ensure these systems are being used responsibly and ethically? This is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That intersection of technology and humanity.
That's a vital question. The human element remains absolutely critical. AI in public safety should be seen as an assistant, not a replacement, for human judgment. Police officers, investigators, and policymakers are the ones who must interpret the insights provided by AI, make final decisions, and be accountable for those decisions. Humans bring empathy, common sense, and the ability to understand nuanced situations that an algorithm simply cannot. For instance, an AI might flag an anomaly, but a human officer can assess the context. Is it a genuine threat or just a misunderstanding? It's not about robots in trench coats. It's about giving our tireless human heroes a superpower.
So it's about augmentation, not automation, of policing. What steps can be taken to ensure this transparency and accountability? Because for many, that black box nature of AI algorithms is a major concern. They want to know how AI arrived at these conclusions.
Transparency is key. This involves auditing the algorithms themselves, understanding the data sets they are trained on, and regularly testing their performance for bias and accuracy. It also means open communication with the public about how these technologies are being used, what their limitations are, and what safeguards are in place. Some jurisdictions are establishing independent oversight committees to review AI deployments in law enforcement. Regulation also plays a huge role. Legislators are grappling with how to create laws that govern AI use in public safety, balancing innovation with protection of civil rights. This includes rules around data retention, data sharing, and explicit prohibitions against using AI for discriminatory purposes. Furthermore, continuous training for law enforcement personnel is essential, not just on how to operate these systems, but also on understanding their limitations and potential for bias. It's about building a culture of ethical AI use.
Now that makes a lot of sense. It sounds like a multi-pronged approach is needed, involving technologists, policymakers, civil rights advocates, and the public at large. It's a dynamic and evolving landscape. Are there examples of best practices emerging, or is everyone still just trying to figure it out?
We are certainly still in the early stages, but best practices are beginning to emerge. For instance, cities like Portland, Oregon, have gone so far as to ban the use of facial recognition technology by city bureaus and private entities in public spaces, citing privacy and civil liberty concerns. This represents a more cautious, wait-and-see approach. Conversely, other cities and countries are experimenting with robust governance frameworks. The European Union, for example, is developing comprehensive AI regulations, including strict rules for high-risk AI systems, which would undoubtedly include those used in law enforcement. These regulations often require human oversight, robust data quality management, transparency, and a system for redress for those affected by AI decisions. It's about creating a framework where the benefits of AI can be leveraged, but not at the expense of fundamental rights. The conversation is less about if AI will be used and more about how it will be used responsibly.
And that is an important conversation that needs to be played out. Well, I hope this episode helped you understand the highlights of the tightrope walk between security and civil liberties when it comes to AI. The eyes and algorithms of AI are increasingly pervasive, offering unprecedented insights into criminal activity and the potential for proactive public safety, but always raising crucial questions about our freedoms, our privacy, and the potential for unintended consequences. It's a powerful tool, perhaps one of the most powerful we've ever developed in the realm of law enforcement. But like all powerful tools, it comes with immense responsibility and a need for constant ethical scrutiny. It's truly a fun ride with profound implications, a narrative that's still very much being written.
Absolutely, JR. It's clear that AI is not a magic bullet, nor is it an inherently sinister force. It's a sophisticated instrument that, when designed thoughtfully, implemented transparently, and governed ethically, can profoundly enhance public safety and the efficiency of justice systems. But the conversations around its implementation, the biases in the data it's trained on, and the robust oversight mechanisms required are just as important as the technology itself. We have to consistently ask ourselves, as a society, what kind of future do we want to build with this technology? One where everyone feels safer, or one where some feel more watched?
And I couldn't agree more. And that brings us to the end of another fascinating and thought-provoking discussion about AI true crime. From the digital detective uncovering cold cases, to the code crackers fighting cybercrime, and now to the watchful eyes and predictive algorithms shaping public safety. AI is redefining what's possible in the pursuit of justice. It's a blend of cutting-edge tech and age-old human determination, a fun ride with profound implications. Thank you again, Dr. Aris, for once again sharing your incredible insights and for helping us navigate these complex waters with such clarity and wit.
Always a pleasure. And thank you for providing such a vibrant and engaging platform for these vital discussions.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey through the world of AI and law enforcement. It's a conversation that touches every one of us, whether we realize it or not. On our next episode of AI True Crime, we'll move beyond the obvious applications and look at the most unexpected ways AI is helping to solve crimes, including puzzles and voice analysis. We'll delve into how AI is unraveling complex puzzles like financial fraud and insider trading, and analyzing subtle voice patterns to catch criminals, and even exposing sophisticated identity theft rings. You won't want to miss that one. It's going to be another deep dive into the surprising corners where AI is making a huge difference, proving that innovation truly has no bounds. So please make sure to subscribe to us, rate, and review AI Innovations Unleashed wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media at everything AI Innovations Unleashed. So until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and remember, the future of AI is being written one innovation and one conversation at a time.
Homestead Floors knows that 9/11 will never be forgotten. As Americans, we all came together as one. Firefighters, police, military, National Guard, and citizens of our great country all united. Let's all salute our honorable and free country as we remember those brave first responders and citizens who lost their lives to a tragic event on a date that our country will never forget. This message from Homestead Floors, serving the greater Columbus area, thanking those who risked their lives on that fateful day.